AF downed in your car to your home. Every week it's on the news. A deep talk or an interview. She'll make you laugh, she'll make you cry. When it's dark out, she's a light. When you're down, get you feeling right. Oh man, that's some fun.
Hi friends, welcome to another episode of That Sounds Fun. I'm your host, Annie F. Downs. I'm so happy to be here with you today. This is a fun one. But before we dive into this conversation, I want to tell you about one of our incredible sponsors. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I'm in New York this week, which means all the shows and all the dinners and all the socializing, but I also have an appointment with my counselor. I don't have to be careful about finding some time for rest and not spreading myself too thin and doing what matters most to me, which is staying healthy in every way. So, how do you recharge? How do you find the right amount of socializing for you? Maybe you thrive around people. I do. Or maybe you need some more alone time. Me too. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I'm going to talk to my counselor about that today. Give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So it's simple to get started. Your session can be done from right at home. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. We love a quiz. And you'll get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge, because finding the right match for you is really important. Find that social sweet spot and the right therapist with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/thatsoundsfun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/thatsoundsfun. Oh, y'all, today on the show, I get to talk with my friends, Joel and Luke Smallbone from For King and Country. Okay, have you seen the movie trailer for Unsung Hero? You are going to love this movie. I'm telling you, when I saw it, I cried and immediately after was like, I'm ready for everyone. I'd love to see this movie. It's the story of the Smallbone family. And if that name doesn't sound familiar to you, well, it's For King Country's family. It's Joel and Luke's last name. It's also their sister, Rebecca St. James. All are artists and musicians that we know and love. Unsung Hero is their brand new movie, which comes out April 26th. And it's the story of their family's immigration from Australia to the United States, plus their journey of faith and family and music. You guys are going to love this movie. You're going to see our friend Hillary Scott in it. You're going to see our friend Candace Cameron Bure in it. And it is just an incredible story of a family in need and how God provided and the church provided and what obedience could really look like. So it's incredible. So today, Joel and Luke are here to talk all about it. You're going to love hearing the behind the scenes of how this all came about, and it'll prepare you to head to the theater and see Unsung Hero. So here's my conversation with my friends, Joel and Luke from For King and Country. Joel and Luke Smallbone, welcome back to That Sounds Fun.
Thank you for having us back.
What a thrill.
That means the first time wasn't a disaster.
No, it was a treat.
Okay, good.
We had to have you back. 2 years later, here you are. Wait, when y'all were here last time, was the movie already rolling? Was Unsung Hero already like...
It was in development. We've been developing it for almost four years.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Films are hard.
Yeah, they I mean, that's... How much longer is that than an album?
So dropping into where we picked up, because we were promoting What Are We Waiting For, our fourth studio album. We had basically said at that point, because that album released in March, we went into production 2022 in October, November. We'd basically said, hey guys, which makes no sense, we're going to cancel our fall tour on a release year because we're going to do a movie, quote unquote. And it sounds ridiculous to even say it.
Yeah.
But there's something about that sort of leap of faith of just going, we're carving it. This is the time.
Yeah.
And someone said to me the other day that time tends to contract or expand to your intention.
Oh,
so if you set the intention of, okay, this is what we're doing, and you obviously have a great team around you, time contracted, and by the grace of God, Annie, it happened. Here we are.
So, okay. Everyone loves your music. People know that. 4 years ago, you start thinking about this movie. What's that first? Are y'all like eating Chipotle and you're like, what if? Remember when we didn't have any Christmas gifts?
Enter Luke Smallbone, I give you.
Yeah, so I've shared our family story, which I'll give you a brief synopsis. Originally born in Australia, hopefully people can still tell. Originally born in Australia.
You Americans have jacked up our accent.
We
That's
have.
Right.
That's Thanks just, so much, Annie.
We've yeah. stolen some things from your... I know.
You find yourself saying things like, g'day, y'all.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a disaster. But anyway. Sorry. Born in Australia, our dad was a concert promoter back there. And on one particular tour that he brought back there, the tour didn't go very well. And we lost everything that we had as a family, lost the house, the car, the life savings. And so dad was looking for a fresh start for his career. And he got a job offer in Nashville, Tennessee, and thought it would be a good idea to move his six kids and his wife, who was 6 months pregnant at the time. And we arrived in Nashville just for him to lose that job.
Is the movie true that it was Carmen?
Well, it, yes.
So, anyways.
So what
rest in peace, but also.
We're in America. Because of Carmen.
Because of Carmen.
The Carmen. Italian stallion.
Right. Yeah.
Look him up if you don't know
his
him.
Music.
That's right.
I did.
The champion.
Yeah.
And,
that music video.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was crazy. So we arrive in Nashville, and look, we're sleeping on beds made out of clothes. Weren't quite sure where the next meal was going to come from. Didn't have a car. No way for our little sister to be born in a hospital. I mean, just a crazy list of things. And I've told some semblance of that story at pretty much all of our concerts for the last 11, 12 years. And I've had a lot of people come up and say, man, you guys should write a book. You know, my joke back is, hey, we were homeschooled. We don't read or write very well. We don't need to be writing books.
Shout out to the homeschoolers out there.
But what about a movie? And so I called up, I just randomly, I didn't run it by Joel. I just one day called up a producer friend in LA and just said, hey man, I got this idea, like our family story, I tell it and it really captures people. I think that there's something about this film, this being turned into a film. And so that was the beginning moment of him. And for the most part, he goes, yeah, let's do it. And you were like, I thought I was going to have to try a little harder than that.
Wow.
But what you realize, though, is films get put into development by the hundreds every year. Mm. Very, maybe even thousands. Very few ever get made. So you have a lot of people that are willing to spend money on, hey, let's just develop this, just to see.
Let's pay to write the script.
That's right.
We'll just see
what happens.
Okay.
And this was just one of those that, you know, along the way was actually one that ended up getting made.
Spoiler audience, I saw the movie in September.
Which, by the way, for the record, your encouragement that night, I will not forget it. Because it was still a vulnerable state we were all in at that point.
Yeah.
And your response as someone who we admire and respect and love what you do and you're a fellow creative and love the way your mind works, for you to respond the way you did was pretty magical.
It was
amazing.
I mean,
it's amazing what $500 to come to a screener will do.
Amazing what a sponsorship can do, everyone.
I'm kidding. That didn't happen. That's just a joke.
But that just blew my mind when we saw the film, and it was a close to finished product.
That's right. Yeah.
Right.
And that was 8 months before it's in theaters. I guess I didn't know how long this whole process was.
It's long. It's long. Usually, you're going to release the film after you've filmed it, within a year or two, right? That would be kind of normal. But man, some of these movies that you may, you know, have watched have been in development for like 15 years.
That is,
it's just insane how sometimes
so much
works.
Of it. I mean, it's a perfect crescendo, right? You have to find the right timing. You don't want to get sort of squashed by another film, or
you don't want a song. You don't want a film that's similar.
Yeah,
to the one that you're releasing,
sure.
You know, all those things.
Yeah. So when you're sitting with Lionsgate, right, is Lionsgate who determines all that? So they go, okay, we look at a chart, some would call it a calendar. We look at a calendar, a chart of days.
I love
Annie,
a chart.
That's a thing.
Let's go with looking at
charts by chance.
Charts of days. And say like, okay, it looks like a April release.
Well, a recognition of Adam Fogelson, who actually now runs Lionsgate.
Yeah.
This was July last year.
Yeah, sometimes.
We initially were trying to release it last fall.
Yeah.
And then we were trying to release it in February. And he was the one that came and said, I think April 26th is the date. Mm. It gives us a long enough runway. People get out of the sort of sleepiness at the top of the year. And it's 2 weeks before Mother's Day. This film sort of circles around our mom.
Yeah.
As sort of the unsung hero, if you will. And we were like, hey, that makes sense mathematically. And what's so cool, Annie, is you saw so many miracles on screen, but there are so many miracles behind the screen, and that's one of them. So April 26th, we're like, this is great.
Man.
We called mom about a week later and said, hey, they've picked a date for the film. It's April 26th. And she says, oh, you know, that's dad's and my 49th wedding anniversary.
She sounds just like that.
And we were like, yes.
Yes, we did know.
That's why we did it. But even that, like you do the math and you go, okay, speaking of charts and calendars and all the rest of it, films released on a Friday. A Friday falls on the 26th of April every 7 years.
Yeah.
So I Googled it. It's a 1 in 2,555 chance.
Wow.
That even that date would happen.
Wow. That is wild. And so you're saying to me, both of you, have experienced miracles like that the whole way through.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, we didn't get into this, but that producer that I called,
yeah,
2 months before we were about to go to film it, they decided basically to fund a different movie and they pulled out of our film. So then in 2 months, we have to go raise all of the money for the film.
$6 million?
$6 million.
Oh, my gosh.
And then people were like, hey, we don't think it's possible, but we'll try. Then we raised $6 million verbally, obviously, in 3 days.
Oh, my gosh.
So the whole thing is just this wild roller coaster. I mean, if you were to put it in a scale of likely to be made or not, this was never likely to be made, and yet it got made.
And I want, I think that's an amazing thing. I want all the listeners to know, if you hear the thudding, this is Luke being passionate about what he's saying the whole time.
I may have thudded.
Everyone's thudding.
I don't know. I thought
thud on the table.
No, the thud on the table is passion.
Yeah, that's right.
It's passion. I think it's interesting for people to hear that, because in everyone's lives, I'm not making a movie about my family, but in everyone's lives, we have these little yeses we make, and we're not sure if that's God or not. And so then one of the ways to find, for me, one of the ways I look for confirmation is, are supernatural things happening around my yes?
That's good.
Or not.
I love that.
And it's so y'all are saying
Say that again.
If supernatural things are happening around my yes, then I think that the Lord is involved.
Is that a book?
Maybe. Passionate Pound. I mean, maybe it'll end up in a book, but it does feel like.
That's good.
Oh, I mean, at every turn, I felt like we've seen the supernatural. I mean, in reverse order, you've got the date. Then, like Luke mentioned, you've got the production house pulling out and partners coming on to believe in us. We're music guys. We're not movie guys, you know? I mean, we were 10 days before filming, Annie, and we didn't have our Helen, our mom, cast. We didn't have our unsung hero.
Wow.
And we just got down to like the wire of wires, so much so that all of us that Luke produced, that the producers, all the directors, we're all on like Google searching top 100 actresses in Australia, because she had to be Australian. She had to be, the two criteria was she had to be a mum
and
she had to be, and she had to be Australian. That was our math.
Okay.
In order for it to feel honest. And we looked at this top 100 list, and actually our sister Rebecca St. James was on the list. So for a second we were like, meh.
Does our sister play our
I play our dad.
Oh, that right.
I mean, that could get real Old Testament.
That's gonna get real weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get funky.
Get
so, but on that list was a woman by the name of Daisy Betts. Yeah. And we reached out on a Friday to her agent, and our agent put it in front of her. And admittedly, the agent was like, I don't know if this is a good idea, Daisy. But she had made the comment earlier that year that she just wanted to get more involved with films and projects that resonated with her. She's a mum of four at the time, down to a three-year-old.
Wow.
She was in Australia. She went on holiday. She read it. It was pitched on a Friday. She read it on a Saturday. We got on a Zoom call on a Monday, that next Monday. And she said, I think I'm in. I'm so moved by this. And we said, well, how? You got to be here for 5 weeks. You've got four kids. You're in Brisbane, Australia.
Yeah.
She said, well, you're not going to believe this, but I actually was working as a producer on another project for 2 weeks. So I had my mum and dad coming into town to watch the family already. So I'll just push that project off and I'll extend their time here. And then we're like, but this was the big one. Do you have a passport?
Oh, sure.
Because it's the pandemic still. This is 2022.
Yeah.
Everyone's passports had lapsed. Right. And she was like, well, you're not going to believe this. I was in Hawaii with a friend earlier this year, and she just, on a whim, was like, you should just renew your passport just in case something comes up.
Oh, my gosh.
And so that was on a Monday. That Friday, she's on a plane to America. The next Monday, she's on screen.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, some crazy stuff.
Hey friends, just interrupting this conversation real quick to share about one of our amazing partners, ButcherBox. Y'all know I am here for grocery and meal options that are shipped to my door, and that includes ButcherBox. Seriously, when I get an incredible box of meat from ButcherBox to keep in my freezer, pull out whenever I need to make burgers or grilled chicken, it is the best. ButcherBox is delivered right to my door. It is high quality meat and seafood I can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. They are all mainly raised with no antibiotics or added hormones, and there's always free shipping on my order, so that's just like a no-brainer. Their meats are seriously so good, y'all. You can curate a customized plan, and they also have recipe ideas based on what you order, which is really fun. And ButcherBox always has the best deals, y'all. Get this. Today, ButcherBox is giving our friends free ground beef for life. literally, for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Let's go Taco Tuesday forever. Just use the link butcherbox.com/TSF, like that sounds fun, and use the code TSF to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/TSF, and the code is TSF. And I have another incredible partner to tell you about, Liquid IV. With the weather a little warmer around here, I can just feel summer coming, and I cannot wait. I love summer. I love being hot, but, you know, I also love staying hydrated, too. And a single stick of Liquid IV does the trick. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, it is so good. There's so many to choose from flavor-wise, too. Pear, sugar-free white peach, sugar-free green grape, strawberry lemonade, lemon lime. Y'all, I could just keep going. You just tear open one packet, put it in your water bottle, and you are good to go. Whether you're keeping it with you while you're working out, like I do, or putting a stick in your water before you go on a hike, I do that too, or packing it with you to head out on the lake. Okay, I do that too. Liquid IV can help you with all your hydration goals. Plus, there are no artificial sweeteners in it, which I love. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order at Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code ThatSoundsFun at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop better hydration today using the promo code ThatSoundsFun at liquidiv.com. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with some samples. So if you have read That Sounds Fun, you probably remember the story of me trying to get a dog and then realizing I was allergic. Sad day. And this is why I'm glad I found Claritin D, because an allergy attack is literally the worst. So I am thankful to have it on hand around my friends, pets, and other things. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. It's designed for serious allergy sufferers, and Claritin D has 2 powerful ingredients in just 1 pill. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, and itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Amen to that. There are also a lot of seasonal allergy sufferers over here at AFD Inc. and at the That Sounds Fun Network. So Claritin D really works for this crew. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It is time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful. Powerful relief is just a quick trip away. So you can find Claritin D at your pharmacy counter. Just ask a pharmacist for Claritin D at the pharmacy counter, and you don't even need a prescription. Just go to Claritin.com right now, and you can get a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Okay, now back to our conversation with Luke and Joel. I've never done a movie. I've never even been on a set besides The Chosen. And I've so.
Name drop.
Yeah, certainly. So
well done.
What I'm saying is there's a lot of people moving around in a Chosen moment. I've just watched from the background.
Yeah.
Does it take some time for you and her to coagulate? Like, does it take some time with actors? Like, or is the first day kind of a wash because you are figuring each other out? Is that how it goes?
They came in about, was it 72 hours before the first scene or 48? And there's a little, there was like, what, a, cast,
like a cast dinner.
And
oh,
there's
got
some
it.
Hanging, but I mean, is that enough to pretend as if you're husband and wife?
No, right. Fortunately, the way that the five, so you don't shoot films in order, right?
Okay.
So when you sort of orchestrate you set up the shot sort of sequence, you're kind of going from like, you don't do heavy lifting first. Otherwise, it's just sort of suicide because everything's about rhythm, right?
Yeah.
So the first week was like, we picked up this shot and this bit and that bit. Uh-huh. And then the second week was actually when Candace Cameron-Bure came in.
Yeah.
And when Lucas Black came in, it's when like the ensemble happened. Yeah. And a lot of the like, even the more intense moments of the film started happening. And by the grace of God, again, we had her and I had enough time to sort of grow in understanding, because you're right. You've got to play a pair of people who are not just, even in love is easier, but this is the fruition of love.
Yes.
They've been doing life together at this point for 20 years. How do you just kind of snap your fingers and present that on screen?
Right, right.
Yeah.
You have to be a very good actor. Well done, you.
Thank you.
I believed you. When did you start acting? I mean, I know you've been in a couple of other films, but was this always part of the plan?
Well, you got to go back to like, when Luke and I were kids, our brother Ben's a filmmaker. He's been a filmmaker for years, and a lot of our music videos, and we did a film in 2016 that he directed called Priceless, and we were pretty deeply involved in that as well. But even before that, like as teenagers, we would do like bad spin-offs of like Indiana Jones movies.
Just around the house.
And Luke could never, Luke's the youngest, younger brother of the three of us. He could never remember his line. So we'd be like, kill him.
I died a lot.
Kill him. Yeah. This is too much trouble. Just kill his character off. And then music.
Mind you, the lines were usually like, hey, Luke, just say, you know, Indy, I can't get there. That were written moments prior. So there wasn't a lot of preparation given.
It was very impromptu.
We weren't writing scripts at that point.
Right.
But and then music happened. You know, we'd spent, Luke and I, he was 19, I was 21. That's when we started working together. And that was, that's just been our life. But all the way along, Annie, it's been like, what we do live is so theatrical. Mm. Our music videos, we've always loved telling a story in music videos. And so you could feel the proximity of movies and music just sort of creeping up on each other. And this was such a fun one because it's like a 90s. You've got all, it's so much, it's such a music, it's not a musical, but it's such a music-based film with, you know, all these needle drops and Seal and Rod Stewart and Jesus Jones. Lenny Kravitz, Michael W. Smith, Stryper, Amy Grant.
Yeah.
And so it just felt, it kind of felt very, between Luke sharing about this at every fucking country show, it being our story, and then having these few little, I did a country film years ago with Billy Ray Cyrus, and I did a film even before that. I've done some church film caught on camera type movies, but it was just enough. That was another little miracle. It was like, it was just enough, I think, for me to actually be able to do this.
Yeah.
I remember Josh Walsh, he's the lead producer on it. He, you know, it's all an act of faith. And even down to like believing that I could even pull it off was an act of faith for him. He got like 2 days into the production and he came in the room and is like, we're not going to die. You can act.
Like, right, because he can't God. Know.
Yeah, he's like, this is a music. How many musicians do you know that have been like, I want to be in a movie now, you know?
Luke.
Yeah.
If you don't want to answer this, you don't have to. Why aren't you in the movie?
I am in the movie.
Where? He is.
Wait.
No, this is the thing. I'm such a good actor, I'm forgettable.
You are not in the movie.
I am in the movie. Yep. I am.
Who are you?
I am the lead singer of Stryper.
Oh my
gosh. Take that, Annie.
I thought you weren't in it.
I know.
You're the lead singer of Stryper? I just am shocked that's what you decided to be in this film.
No, I didn't decide to be that.
Okay.
That's what I got told to be. So here's the story. So we had obviously, you have what they call day actors. And these people are all, we were filming up in Louisville, Kentucky. That's where they, you know, that's when you're going to get that pool. You know, you have local casting people say, hey, we got this film and you got to fill out all these minor roles.
Yes.
All right. And so there was this guy that was cast to be Michael Sweet, which was the character I played. And he was in another scene 2 days prior.
Uh-huh.
All right. But he showed up high as a kite.
My God.
I mean, look, you got 6-year-olds on set.
He was falling asleep in between shots. Oh,
and
so high. Gosh.
And the aroma was potent.
Oh, yes. My God.
I think I even had a great calm day.
Right.
That day,
right.
You know?
Yeah. So he was fired. And then they were like, but the only problem is we fired the guy that we really needed to have this role in 2 days. And so there was another producer who literally said, Luke, you have no choice. You're doing this. And I was like, well, no. And they were like, we don't have time. You have to do this.
Spandex.
So I can't wait for next week when I see it again.
The next day, I go and they're going to wardrobe. And I looked like at one point a male prostitute.
Wow. You know,
it was like the netted shirt.
All rock bands sort of looked like.
But they kind of all looked like male prostitutes, right? So then they're putting in the hair. I mean, I made horses jealous of my mane. Uh-huh, you know what I'm saying? And so I was. So my new petition is there should be an Oscar award for a non-speaking role.
Yeah.
All right. And I think I have a chance because I'm so good at my craft.
Right.
I'm forgettable.
I can't wait to see it again. I can't wait. I mean, I literally walked out that night and I thought, so interesting that Luke wasn't in it anywhere.
Huh. Yeah.
Huh. I wonder why he did that. And I thought, I know when I get to ask.
There you go.
You are in it. What an Easter egg for our listeners. Egg.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. So speaking of award shows, do you want to win an Oscar? Or can you be nominated for all that stuff now when this movie comes out?
I mean, I guess
I'm not
theory,
sure we're putting a lot of eggs in that basket.
I don't think we're Oscar worthy, but the fact that you're asking the question has encouraged us.
Yeah,
you know, has encouraged us.
Why couldn't you? If the movie does really well and catches the right eyes and the right people watch it.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you can
submit anything.
Always
yeah.
dream.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, one of the things that I've learned being in music is those things, there's a little bit more politics to it than what we would all realize. But at the same time, you know, anything's possible.
It's also Lionsgate. Like, that's like a real studio behind
you. Of course. Of course.
Right.
If y'all are my first friends who win Oscars, that's going to be so cool. Y'all are going to go for the EGOT. Y'all are going to get
I was going to say, what's that called? An EGOT?
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
What is an EGOT?
An EGOT is an Emmy.
Grammy.
Grammy.
Oscar. And Tonys. The Tonys.
Air high five.
Yeah, do y'all already have a Grammy, though? Yeah.
We do. Yeah.
One down. Three to go.
Three. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm 0 for 4,
I don't know if we're going to try to do the EGOT
Speak
thing.
For yourself, Lou.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, why can't we just, like, think about
it? Hey, I liked Annie. This is what I love about you. You just, like, the half of the battle is dressing for the job.
Yeah.
We all know that, right? Like,
right.
Prophecy, half of prophecy is going, why not?
Why not?
That's where everyone started. You know, Ben and Matt were like, why can't we do Goodwill Hunting?
Right? That's what I'm saying. Are you our new Ben and Matt?
I don't think so, but I like your thinking.
I've thought about it one time, but I didn't really think about it until you said there should be a new category. And all of a sudden I was like, are y'all going to win an Oscar? Are you going to be like nominated
for best leading man in a best actor? You put that. That you're putting us there.
Yeah, that's a very high compliment.
Well, the only thing is good acting is good acting. I don't care if it's a movie about a family or a movie about a spaceship. Good acting is good acting. And so, fascinating.
Fascinating, indeed.
I want to tell you my hot take about this film.
Okay.
I think
this ladies and gentlemen, welcome to That Sounds Fun with Annie F. Downs. This is Annie's
hot take.
What does F stand
fancy.
For?
Fancy. Today it's fancy.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Annie Fancy Downs. Yes. This is her hot take on Unsung Hero.
I think Rebecca St. James is a second unsung hero in this movie.
That's absolutely agreed. Right.
I love that when people come in to see it, I think mothers and families are going to live for it. I think it has got this beautiful, like, sacrificial love that stays in the home. She spends, your mom, who's unbelievable, spends incredible amounts of time teaching y'all how to pray and teaching you about faith and hard work. And then there's also this unsung hero of a female out in the workforce.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And well said.
I just think there's a secondary. Mm-hmm. So for women like me, I'm watching Rebecca. I've watched Rebecca for 30 years, right? Yeah. But I'm watching her in this film and being like, she's a businesswoman who is helping her family have what they need to move forward. So
Well said.
Do you think that? Do you agree with me that Rebecca's part of the unsung hero-ness?
Well, that was part of the charm of the film in general is like, the unsung hero title is non-exclusive, right? I think to mums, I think they feel unseen often.
Yeah.
And they do a lot of things just quietly that no one recognizes them for. I think equally, I've not heard it put like that before, but women in the workforce do a lot that people not only maybe don't even recognize, but are sort of threatened by even, And so therefore are unsung heroes. I think the family is sort of an unsung hero, if you will, as well. I think there's, I kind of like that. I think that's what was fun about this title, which was such a happy accident, by the way, because we wrote a song called Unsung Hero for our fourth studio album for What Are We Waiting For? And then we were developing this nameless movie about our family. And one day we just literally went, just put them
together.
We've
already done the work.
we already came up with the title.
Yeah. Wow. So there's a scene in the movie that really stood out to me where y'all are all sitting in a circle on the floor of a house with no furniture. Mm-hmm. And your mom, Helen, puts the money jar in the middle, I think, if I'm remembering correctly. It's like, this is literally everything we have. Mm-hmm. And then she says to pray.
Yeah.
Did it really go like that? What was it really like? What do you remember as a kid? I think so many of our friends listening are raising kids that they hope pray. And your mother in that movie models how one way to teach kids how to pray is invite them into the really hard stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that what it was really like? Tell me what your prayer experience was like as kids.
No, I mean, look, we didn't have a physical jar But and so that is used to demonstrate, sure, obviously in a film what was going on. But there was a job
behind
scenes. Did we not?
Luke was only 5. I feel like he's recalling stuff that I actually think we did have. Debate for later.
Don't remember the jar, okay? So, but anyway, but so whether or not that jar was a legit jar,
yeah,
or it's just, you know, the bank account that is just, you know, showing, yes, what we have. We all knew that we were very, very poor, right? And we knew that we had to pray for, you know, food. We were praying for, you know, mom to have, a little sister in a hospital. We were praying for a car. We were praying for work. That was one
and
thing.
And vividly remember sitting in a circle.
And vividly, absolutely. And no actually holding hands and doing all of that. And I think if you want to teach your kids to pray, then you need to give them a reason to pray.
Yeah.
And there needs to be evidence of the outcome of prayer in your household. Meaning, if you want a miracle, you actually have to need a miracle to see one.
One has and to I think speak a lot of times, it out.
Wow. I think a lot of times people are trying to teach their kids to pray, and you're praying for very frivolous things. Like in some cases, to make your Oscar EGOT thing, taking it a little bit further. We should pray for massive dreams. Mm. We should pray and ask God to do massive things in our life.
Yeah.
Whether or not that actually takes place or not, it might not, that's only part of the equation. But having faith to pray those things is the first step in the line of those things actually taking place.
Yeah.
And I think for us, we got to see that, man, one of the stories is and this is not going to ruin anything because I've told it from stage for many years.
Spoiler alert.
We went to Thanksgiving, right? Our very first year here at Thanksgiving. And
I cried at that part.
Yeah, we didn't have a car. Like a legit, we did not have a car. Family came and said, we can pick you up. By the end of that night, this is the first day this family met us. Mm. They hand us the keys to their brand new car. So
not,
when you're a
not
kid,
a rundown, like stuck
nice
in the
car.
Corner.
Yeah.
Their new car.
So when you're a kid and you're praying for a car, and later on that week, someone hands you a car, what do you think the outcome is for your children?
Right.
Wow. Prayer, like Jesus actually is real.
Right.
That's the, you know, so anyway, those were the things that we experienced as a kid.
Did the Lord ever not answer? Were there ever things that you would pray and then it would not work out and you had to deal with that as a kid, like we do as adults?
You know, it's interesting. It was such a dire time, and it was so, you're so in tune with looking for the smallest thing.
Ah.
You know, so much, obviously prayer is about, we can debate this, but I think there's God, the interaction between man and God is a dance. And I do believe that, yes, part of it is, you changing your own mindset, and part of it is, I think, God sort of recognizing it and his will, if we pray in line with him, it's sort of shifting.
I would say this, absolutely, we were told no. I mean, even in the film, so our sister started to have a little bit of success here doing some things, and dad was really going after a record deal for her. This is talked about in the film, but this was also very hard for us when we first came, because she had basically signed the development deal, which is, hey, we don't quite believe you to be an artist quite yet, but we're going to sign you to a deal to develop you as an artist. And eventually they said, hey, we don't want to sign you. And it was right around when some very difficult things happened, you know, in our family's life. And so that is a failed prayer in that moment. But here's the thing I love about prayer is sometimes it's the persistence of prayer that we need to be taught. Mm. I had my son come to me not long ago, and he's 9 years old, and he's got scoliosis, not terribly, but his back, you know, aches at times, and he's got a little thing. And I just one night was just like, hey man, these are the things you pray about. Like when you've got this going on, these are the things you pray about. And he literally just looks at me and goes, I tried that once. Didn't work for me.
Tried that once.
And what was beautiful is I actually got to talk to him about, hey man, it's the persistence of prayer. When you come to me asking, hey dad, I want a go-kart for my birthday. Well, you don't need a go-kart for your birthday. Mm-hmm. Dad, tomorrow, I want a go-kart for my birthday. Well, you don't really need it. Well, I could maybe get the mail and the go-kart. You know, you come up with all these things. And all of a sudden, as a father, you start to go, maybe he needs a go-kart, or maybe it's a bike. Change it to whatever you want.
It's fine.
Maybe he wants that, and maybe I give it to him just because I love him. Mm. It's the persistence of that prayer that actually has taught me a lot about who he is as a child.
Wow.
We're not that much different. Mm-hmm. It's the persistence. It's the knocking, consistent knocking that does something. It does something. It changes us. And also, when have you ever had a friend just keep asking you to go see a movie? Will you go see a movie with him this weekend? Will you go see me? Eventually, you go, just to keep him quiet, see the movie with him. Right. That's how God actually in the Bible teaches us to pray
That's exactly right. Hey friends, just interrupting this conversation to tell you about one of our incredible partners, Hiya Help. I know this time of year we're getting into all the end of school things and there's one party after another, so many pizza parties, so many cakes. We all love a treat, but if you're looking for an easy way to help your kids get their vitamins too, Hiya Health is your answer. They're the children's vitamins you can trust because actually a lot of them out there are filled with sugar and gummy junk kids don't need. But that's why Hiya was created. It's pediatrician approved, super powered, chewable vitamins. Hiya is pressed with a blend of 12 organic fruits and veggies and has 15 essential vitamins and minerals. It's shipped right to your door. And you also get these really cute stickers with your first shipment so you can decorate the bottles. It is so cute. My mini BFFs love them. We've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. You get 50% off your first order. So to claim this deal, you must go to hiyahealth.com/thatsoundsfun. That's hiyahealth.com/thatsoundsfun and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Okay, picture the thing that you've always wanted to learn. Maybe it's how to play chess or creative writing or gardening. Now picture learning that thing from the person who's literally the best at it in the world. That is what you get with Masterclass. Masterclass is such an easy way to help you learn more about something you're interested in. You can seriously find classes on everything from turning your passion into achievements with cultural icon Martha Stewart to principles of improv from Amy Poehler. Are you kidding me? Y'all, I did a cooking class with Gordon Ramsay. And it was so much fun. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best and become your best. Masterclass is the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow with over 200 plus of the world's best. For just $10 a month, an annual membership gets you unlimited access to every instructor. And you can access Masterclass on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even in audio mode. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Don't waste another minute to start your learning journey with Masterclass. Right now, our friends get an additional 15% off of any annual membership at masterclass.com/soundsfun. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/soundsfun. Masterclass.com/soundsfun. And now back to finish up our conversation with Luke and Joel. That sounds fun. How do you teach prayer to the people that you are leading, whether it's your kids or your team? Like, let's talk about your team. When y'all are doing this movie, what are you asking them to pray? How are you teaching them about prayer in this? Where's prayer a part of this part?
Mariah was such a massive, and by the way, Mom and Beck and Mariah loved their time.
It was so good. I will link to it. I'm sure it's out by the time people hear this, but that conversation was so fun. I got to watch a clip of it today. They sent me like a... I just love it.
The best clip.
They're like, you go with this. Awesome. I was like, this is great.
No, they not only them, but I just came from a marketing call and they were like, man, that whole moment was so great.
It was.
Mariah was really valiant in that. One of the things that she felt super strongly about was to put together a prayer team every day. And our mum was one of those folks. It was mentors. A lot of particularly women came in and just covered the set with prayer, but also were available for people, because sets can be a pretty dark place, you know, and available for people to go and even, you know, share something. And Mom was, you know, praying over people at points. And
of course she
was. So that was really magical in the moment. And I think that, man, just speaking of changing things, I think that changed so much. It's an apt time to ask this question, because not yesterday, Mariah came to me. And she was just talking about sort of prayer language. And we talk about this a lot, you know? And she was like, I realize that she was talking about her dad and his, because we live sort of on a compound together. So we're very close with her parents-in-law, my parents-in-law, her parents. And it's like, he has a different prayer language to me. Like he has this desperation based on his story. And she's like, I realize my prayer language is like a joyful, which is a privilege, by the way, like a joyful, beautiful, excited prayer life. And so it's something I think on the film that on a wider scale, we were able to really like benefit from. And it was, man, so many miracles I think were conjoined to that prayer team. And then even in daily life, I think we're just discovering, even as a couple, how much that, and it's the practice of prayer too, right? We pray every night before we go to sleep, just lay in bed and pray.
It just felt like one of the themes that ran through the movie was your mom and dad, but mostly your mom kind of going like, okay, so what we'll do first is we'll pray. I won't spoil it because I want everybody to see it and have the same moment I did. But at Christmas, there's the thing that happens at Christmas in the movie that when I tell you I was, well, y'all saw me afterwards, I was crying like it was the Titanic sinking, watching how God pulled through for y'all on that Christmas.
Yeah.
And so I just was, I've thought so much about the power of modeling prayer in a movie that's going nationwide in theaters that everyone who shows up won't believe everything we believe.
I think that sometimes with prayer, we don't know how to teach our kids how to pray honestly. We pray out of a habit, and I think that's a wonderful honor as well, right? I think we always should, you know, as Joel just said, like you practice it because it's good for you. You exercise, not always because you want to exercise, but you exercise because it's good for you.
That's right.
Prayer is the same thing. God, you know, it's like I always think of it like this. When you call up your mother to check in and you just say, hello, how honored is your mom anytime you call in to check in? Doesn't have a lot to do with the content always, but the check-in is really, really important. But how much more honored is she when you call her up and you say, I had a really hard day today, and I'm coming to you to grieve with me or to mourn with me.
Yeah.
Your mom leaves, or your father, whoever it might be, whoever that character is in your life, and they say, I was their first call. And they usually call me just to check in for fun or whatever.
Right.
But today it was different. That's what prayer is. We forget that's just that simple. And it needs to be a part of every fabric of our life to the best of our ability. Not in a religious way. My wife used to tell me, Luke, you pray like you're like on stage. You need to pray like real prayers. If you're angry, pray angry. If you're happy, pray joyfully.
Yeah.
That's, I think, and look, if you were to have a conversation with me in 20 years from now, I hope to actually give you a different answer of what this looks like, because I think that prayer is an ongoing friendship.
Yeah.
And, but I think that's what we've learned a little bit about. Obviously, coming to this nation, but also even working on this film, it's kind of been embedded in prayer.
So what do you want, for our friends listening, what do you want them to pray for the movie?
Well, this is a fascinating exercise for two musicians, right?
Yeah.
Because you see a lot of similarities and cross connects between movies and music, but one of the most dramatic differences is when you release a music project, you have years to release singles and collaborations and tour it and sort of prove to the world that, hey, this was a successful piece of art. With a theatrical film, it'll be in theaters, you know, for a month or 2 months, but you really have 72 hours. You have next week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now you have Wednesday next week.
That was my next
question
is, when do we go? But
you
we'll
have
get there. Okay.
Wednesday night, which we do sort of, that's like a see it first in select theaters.
Yeah.
And then it comes out on the 26th.
Yep.
So 8 days from now.
Yeah.
And it's really that if you're going to go see it, our plea is like, hey, go that weekend.
Yeah.
Because everyone's watching that
the industry is watching
moment.
That weekend.
And I want to say this too, you know, I love all these layers of the film. Like I love the prayer layer. I love mums. I love Rebecca's character. I love the miracles. I love so much of the family dynamics that we were able to portray, but it's kind of an adventure film, I feel like. It's I hope that you know that what we really set out to do was make a sort of 90s nostalgic music-filled, funny, dramatic, honest, grounded piece that you can bring your whole family to. That's what we do as musicians, is we try and create an environment live that from 2 to 82 you can come. And that's our hope this weekend, as we've dubbed Friday Family Day. Yeah. You know, you got Mother's Day, you got Father's Day. What if on the 26th of April we all have a good family day at the cinemas and celebrate some of the things that we hold so dear and be moved and entertained at the same time.
Yeah. So that's what it looks like. So our best support is going opening weekend.
That's right.
That's the best way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if we want to, I mean, you were telling me before, Luke, that there's like this option to, like, you can buy out whole theaters.
Yeah.
So like a church or a business or a friend group could just go, we want the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's probably the most effective way, because what happens is obviously a business like Lionsgate sees those things build. Uh-huh. And a lot of people think of a theater like, you know, oh, that's the 500 seat theater. No, most theaters are like 50 seats, because you're in the smaller ones and you go into small, you know, so the really nice ones have the massive theaters.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of other little theaters that are just 50, you know, 50 mm-hmm. seats or so. And so it doesn't actually cost that much just to take the whole thing.
Yeah.
And that really helps us move the needle, because the thing that people like Lionsgate are looking for, they're looking for that type of momentum.
Yeah.
And you get that type of momentum, and it just, there's a cascading effect. But as we all know, momentum is hard to create.
Right.
And those types of things. If you're a small business and you believe in the power of family, and those values that are infused by maybe a movie like this actually help your business, mm-hmm. man, write it off as a business expense and take your operations.
But Annie, it's like, you know, it could be $500 to grab a theater. Like, it's not this. Everyone thinks, oh, it's like $10,000.
Right.
Small business and bring in your family, bring in your friends. That's a massive way. And we've got a great infrastructure on how to do that. If you go to unsunghero.movie.
That's right.
Okay.
Yep.
It'll tell us how to do it.
Information great. There.
That's so easy. Because I was going to be like, who do we call?
Yeah.
That's right. I don't even know if you have to talk to a person.
Right,
you might, but even if you're people shy, we'll still have an answer for you.
There's still a way. So what if someone lives in small town America and it's not at their theater? Who do they call? What do they do?
It should be in most places.
Like, I mean,
it's like 2,000, so 2,500 theaters.
Here's what you realize with theaters.
Dude, 2,000?
Yeah, it should be everywhere. In theory.
Oh, so, my gosh. On
Wednesday the 24th, it'll be more in select theaters, like the See It First thing.
Yep.
But come Friday,
it should be pretty much everywhere.
It should be everywhere.
In the grand scheme of things.
Good
now,
gravy.
You
That's
can have
awesome.
A town, like, let's say a town like Nashville here.
Yeah.
Do we have 30 theaters here? So let's just say there might be a few that aren't showing it because they may not have a big enough theater to do it.
But
my point is there's 30 theaters here.
That's
20
right.
of them will be showing.
Yeah, got it.
And it's a very similar in all these other, like, how many towns do you only have one theater?
Yeah,
it's very rare.
Yeah.
And if you do, there's probably another town just, you know, 15, 20 minutes that will have it.
Yeah.
So for the most part, this is a nationwide release. Everywhere you want to see
it's gonna
it
be a
there.
Really interesting weekend too, because, you know, so much about these ergonomics are like what other films that are releasing.
Yeah.
And the other film that's releasing next weekend is this Zendaya Challenges film,
which
is like sort of a...
It's a little raunchy-ish kind of, one of those types of films.
So you've got these are the
different, yeah.
These are the two films that are, you got family or you've got this, you know, you've got challenges.
You were talking about prayer for this thing. Obviously, I think the first prayer always is, God, your will be done. That's how we're taught to pray, right?
Yes.
That's what Jesus was saying, like, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the first prayer. I do think a second prayer, if we want to make a little history, there's never been a Christian film that was number one at the box office in the history of the world.
And there's actually a small chance
that this could be, depending on how it goes, there's a chance that this film could actually be
done. Just emotionally bought a theater. Just so y'all know, I just emotionally bought a theater. I need to go get to my computer. But emotionally, I'm like, oh, if we could be number one.
I've
really gotten myself involved.
How crazy.
If we could be number one.
If I could be number one.
If we're doing this. Oh my gosh, it could be number one.
It could. I mean, look, there's got, you know, like any time, there's a lot of things that need to go right.
Sure.
But there's no reason why we can't pray for a lot of things to go right.
That's right. I mean, you've got a better shot than most of us because you have a movie coming out that weekend.
And we have to recognize too that, like, not only do we stand on the shoulders of giants with mom and dad and Rebecca and our whole family, but man, shout out to the Irwins and to the Kendricks and to Dallas Jenkins and to John Gunn and to Brent McCorkle and all of these men and women that have gone before us in this genre that we're able, and many of them, frankly, who have spoken into this film.
Yeah.
Candace Cameron Bure, who came around it, she was the first one to attach herself to this film.
Yeah.
as an executive producer and as an actress, and how much that created momentum. And like, there's this beautiful crescendo of like so many things coming into play in this moment. So it's just going to be, next week's going to be fascinating.
I am very, now I care so much. If there's a chance of going number one, and then like you're in Variety, and then you're nominated for an Oscar. Do you see how we're getting there?
I see how you're getting there.
You did this.
Apparently.
Because you started us down the path, and now I'm like, well, we're winning things.
There
like,
it is.
What are y'all going to do on the 26th? I mean, we're not going to stalk you about
we're kind of here, there, and everywhere next week.
Yeah, I think that starting the Sunday, we're going to be in some town every day doing something.
We're doing this thing where we're basically going into a movie theater and basically buying out the whole movie, putting showtimes in the whole movie theater.
Yeah.
And then Luke and I are doing a bit of premiere where we'll go in before the 10 minutes before the film starts and say hi to everyone.
Yeah, it's so kind.
And introduce the film.
We're very nice.
And then we'll walk into the next room and we'll do the same thing for about 4 hours every 15 minutes. Just walk into the next. Yeah. So we're doing that, you know, in select cities around America.
That is very kind of you. That is a lot of hustle.
Hey, you can blame it on the Australian convicts. We got hustle.
Yeah. Well, it's just in the small bone blood, it seems.
Yeah.
That there's just a lot of hustle.
Talk
in
to us
blood.
On the 29th if that, that's still in the blood.
But, I know. Listen.
Well, you're right. We might be licking our wounds. But like Luke said, look, you got man's economy, you got God economy.
Yeah.
I said this to our brother Daniel yesterday. We were talking about it and I said, man, my MO, and I think Luke's is the same, you just have to leave it on the field. We make our plans. God orders our steps. I can sleep well on the night next week, next Friday on the 26th. I can sleep well if I know we've left no stone unturned and we've done everything under God.
Yeah.
And that we're telling a story that is something that is, you know, important.
And if there is a stone that has been not turned yet, let us know because we'll
go
turn it.
Yeah. We got a week to turn that stone over. I can't imagine. I think you're right. I think the only way you'd be, as you said, licking your wounds is if there was an area you had not been obedient in.
That's right.
And that isn't it. Yeah. And so that isn't it. That's not an option. I can't believe you are popping around a theater. Also, you only release your first major movie one time. So go all in, put all your chips on the table.
And we feel like, too, that this is, speaking of music and movies and for King Country, like this is kind of a culmination moment. Like we've never had this momentum on any project we've ever done.
Wow.
We've never had this kind of team and this kind of power on any film we've ever done.
Yeah.
And so we're really looking at this at like, let's leave it all on the field, come what may.
What happens next?
We go to Australia. I turn 40.
Oh, you do? And you turn 40?
In Australia.
Oh, congratulations. You're going to love it. That's how long they were in the desert. And then it was the promised land.
Yeah. Which is crazy because like the film depicts dad turning 40.
Yeah.
I do feel a little bit of foreboding joy of like, what? You know that whole thing of like when someone experiences something or even something passes that you care about at a certain age, you kind of like, I feel a little bit of that. Like, oh, gee.
You're going to love it. I'm 43 and I've just found it to be where you just run.
I love that.
I think it's super fun. Christine Kane said to me a few months ago, the three most impactful decades of your life are your 60s and then your 70s and then your 50s. And she was like, and I thought, here we go. That means we're going.
They say your most powerful work years are your 50s.
Yeah. So I'm like, that's so fun that we're doing this now.
Yeah.
As long as we're taking care of our bodies and our spirits,
we're
just starting.
We're just getting going.
We're just getting going. So y'all go to Australia to do this again?
We're
going to
look back on this podcast 20 years from now.
We'll see how it aged.
It was a great run.
Yeah.
we go premiere the film in Australia.
Oh, good.
Okay. And we're doing a tour down there as well. Homecoming tour.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Yeah.
I just said to someone the other day, I hope this is true for y'all too. I said, I hope this thing that I'm doing that feels like, you know that scripture that says, if God entrusts you with the little things, he'll trust you with the big things?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, I said this to my counselor, I said, I hope that as I get older, these things that feel like the big things now shift down to the small things.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go, oh, he trusts me with that. That's why he's handing me this. Oh, he trusts me with that? That's because he handed me this. And so I hope that this first film that has taken so much of your energy, time, and promotion and heart shifts down as you keep making new things. I hope this is the start of some sort of new, big, beautiful other area of art that y'all are doing?
We'll see.
We'll see.
We do have.
You don't have to.
We do have a 4-year plan.
Do you? Okay. If you ever do another movie, can I just be an extra?
Yes.
I don't need a speaking part. I'll win an Oscar for being without a speaking part.
The film we're working on next, we can say this because we announced it a couple of years ago. We've been developing it for 6 years. It's a film about two brothers who end up on opposite sides of the Civil War. It's a musical called Drummer Boy. And if all goes well, we'll go into production about a year from today.
Okay. What do you need from me between now and then? Do I need to work on my Southern
accent?
Listen,
you've got a week to make sure people show up in the theater.
Okay,
That's your job.
Great. Well,
And then you can work on your Southern accent.
Okay, great.
Here it is, Annie. If this film goes number one, we will guarantee you a role in the
little
there
movie.
It is. You've heard it here first.
Craig, we got to clip that. Clip it. That's a reel. If it goes number one, I'm guaranteed a speaking role. No, you don't want that for your movie. Let me tell you, you don't want that for your movie.
No,
I've done it one time.
Okay, we're going to step further. A speaking role.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yes. We've got it.
I won't hold you to that because I care more
stressed.
about your future.
Now, it might be like amongst 200 other people that yell something.
Yes.
Maybe it'll be something where like, I did kill him.
Yeah.
That's all you got.
Like, that's it.
And then.
In Surprise by Oxford, my one line was, what do you want me to say?
I love it. I need to tell you how stressful it was.
How many times did you practice that line?
Oh, 1,000. It was the last scene of the movie, so everyone is there. They're all crying. I've come in to be a teacher at the end. And it's one of the first scenes of the movie, but they filmed it the last day. And they're like, we need to take it again. And I'm like, they're just trying to be done. I can't get this line right.
Yeah.
So as long as I'm not the last line of the last movie.
You and Luke will have lines together.
Yeah. Striper stuff. Yeah, we got it. Well,
stick a fork in.
Hey, you know what? That was fun.
Hey, yeah. I'm so glad.
It didn't even sound, I hope it sounded fun,
but it was fun. It always is fun when y'all are here. So y'all are welcome back.
What if Luke and I created a podcast that was that this is fun?
I'd be like, huh. All right. Okay. Interesting.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. I'd be like, who do I call first?
But you know what? She'd be like, if it's on the network, I'm good with it.
Right. Yeah. He's right.
He knows.
Well done. Oh, you guys, aren't they great? Okay, learning real time that Luke is in the movie. I cannot wait. Now we're all going to be looking for him, right? I mean, Joel is pretty clearly his dad, but Luke in the rock band. I cannot wait. Unsung Hero hits theaters April 26th, but go ahead and get your tickets right now. Do not wait. If you're not following For King and Country, you need to. I think you probably already love their music. If you don't, you've got to check it out. One of my favorite concerts to go to. I went at Christmas and I loved it. Make sure you're following them on social media. Tell them thanks so much for being on the show with us and how excited you are for them. And let's just pray for them as this big adventure they are on hits a new level when this movie is out and about in theaters. It is going to be so fun. And listen, when you go see the movie, make sure you post about it and tag me. I want to wave back at you. I want to see you seeing Unsung Hero. If you have any questions from this episode, just drop them in the Q&A box on your Spotify app if you're a Spotify listener like me. Or you can send them to us on Instagram. We love trying to answer those for you. And that is at That Sounds Fun Podcast. Make sure you're following there. There is a lot more good stuff going on over there around the podcast. If you need anything else from me, you know I'm embarrassingly easy to find. Annie F. Downs on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Anywhere you need me, that is where you can find me. I think that's it for me today, friends. Go out or stay home. Do something that sounds fun to you. I will do the same. Today, what sounds fun to me is getting to see my friend Mary-Kate in Wicked. So I'm headed there this week, and I cannot wait. And a lovely, lazy Saturday in New York City. Y'all have a great weekend. We'll see you back here on Monday as we continue our gospel series, talking about the book of Matthew with one of all of our favorites, Dr. Scott McKnight. Y'all have a great weekend.
That sounds fun.
That sounds fun.
Oh, that sounds fun.